Welcome back, and this is Chapter 8 of The Magician, written by K.S. Wood, read by M. Ray Davis. Ophelia Rankin Stoneburner was beaming at the two women as they came up the front porch stairs. She stepped forward and greeted them both with hugs and kisses. "It's so nice that the two of you can come for dinner," she exclaimed. Ophelia was Benedict's first cousin. She was magical, but she had married a normal scoundrel who fathered her two progeny, Stella and Luther. After swindling her out of a good portion of her money, Andy Stoneburner fled, leaving her to raise the youngsters by herself. Both were spoiled since Ophelia refused to discipline them, citing that they were being raised without a father. While Luther had been invited to spend the day away by a friend, Stella was in the sitting room with Ophelia's father, Ezra, when the woman entered. Vanessa inwardly groaned. Stella was the reason Freddie had texted her, telling her that she could flee the house if she needed to. Stella was an insufferable brat. The girl was built like her father, tall and lanky, all limbs. She did not have Ophelia's grace, so she tended to run into things and rarely watched where she was going. She often slouched and had a long face, looking as if she were permanently disgusted by the world. She also thought she was the most important person in the room, so she remained draped over one cushion of the white couch, staring at her phone as the women entered. "Stella Eugene," Ophelia chided defeatedly as Ezra stood and greeted both Vanessa and Evelyn with a kiss on the cheek and hugs. "Your cousins are here. Get up and acknowledge them properly." Stella rolled her eyes as she pulled her legs off the arm of the couch, put her feet on the floor. She stood, sighing dramatically as she stomped over to say hello. When Evelyn asked her how school was going, the girl merely looked up at her from her phone and stared. "School?" she asked. "Yes," Evelyn said emphatically. "How's school going?" "It's going fine," Stella mumbled in reply, turning her attention back to her phone. "Stella," Ezra commanded, "put the phone down. It's high time you learn to communicate with your family and not with some damn electric device." The girl sighed and shoved the phone into a cushion of the couch. She slouched there in her seat with her arms crossed and a scowl on her face. Ezra Rankin was Vanessa's grandfather's brother and lived in the mansion as well. He technically owned half of it, with Vanessa and her uncle Iago sharing the other half through their own inheritance. Uncle Ezra was a genial fellow, stout and broad-shouldered like most of the Rankin men. He had little patience for the petulance of his granddaughter, often acting as the disciplinarian since his daughter refused to do so. But that day, he just decided to ignore her. He looked at his grandniece instead. "How's research going, Nessie?" he asked. "It's going well, Uncle Ez," she replied, inwardly groaning at the use of her childhood name. "I've been spending a great deal of time in the library as of late, but I really need to see are the documents in the Museum of Magical Studies that are exceedingly rare. One of my professors is trying to get me access to see those documents, but since they're very delicate, it might be a while until I get clearance." Her granduncle smiled. "They sound important." "They are, and I'm excited to see if I get a chance. But we'll see. If not, I have some feelers out for other options," she chuckled. "At this point, it's not like this will make or break my thesis paper." Evelyn beamed broadly while Ezra laughed. "You have such grit, just like a Rankin would," he remarked. "Actually, you're more like my mother than anything else. Ben would be proud of you, girl." The adults began to chat about other topics, such as how their family was doing and the fact that Vanessa's uncle Iago was still at work, though he was supposed to be here for the family dinner. While Vanessa didn't chime in, she listened nonetheless, smiling pleasantly. She was used to being an observer when it came to family conversations. There was a buzz on her watch, and she noted a message had come from Freddie. "Need a breather? I know Stella is home." She pulled out her phone to send a rapid reply. "No, I think it's all good for the moment." As she hit send, she heard her young cousin screech, "Mom, how come I don't get to use my phone, but Vanessa does?" Ophelia sighed as she looked over at Vanessa, and Vanessa decided to answer. "Because I'm an adult," she said. "That's not fair. Why can't I use my phone if she can?" Vanessa put her phone in her pocket as Freddie sent a thumbs up answer, inwardly chuffed over the whining display Stella was demonstrating. The way she was carrying on was reminiscent of a toddler throwing a tantrum, and it was quite unbecoming a young lady. "I was answering a text from Freddie," she replied. "It's not like I'm going to be on my phone all night like you would be." "It's not fair! If I can't have my phone out, then you can't either," she shrieked. She ran to her mother's side and fell dramatically beside Ophelia. With a wail, she buried her face into her mother's lap. Ophelia answered, patting her daughter's back and murmuring platitudes towards her. She was answered by wails. "What's all the whining about?" a male voice boomed at the door of the kitchen. Vanessa grinned. Her uncle had just gotten home from work. Iago Rankin was a highly popular general building contractor. As a result, he spent a great deal of his time working, even when he was at home. A confirmed bachelor, he claimed he could never find the right woman to marry. Vanessa's dad used to joke that it was because his little brother was fairly married to his work and no woman wanted to play second fiddle to that. Iago shared the mansion with his uncle and cousin, having inherited his share when Ezekiel passed away. It worked well, for Ophelia and Ezra took care of the mansion while Iago was working his long hours. At the moment he filled the doorway to the sitting room, his work bag still slung over his shoulder. He was wearing dark green and black plaid shirt with the sleeves unbuttoned and rolled halfway up. His shirt was still tucked into a pair of khaki cargo pants whose pockets appeared to be loaded with a number of items. Black steel-toed boots completed the look. He looked exhausted and scruffy as a shade of beard covered his face, though Vanessa knew he was shaving that morning, meticulously as he always had. The beard was black with some white strands, the only indication that he was over 40 years old. His eyes behind a wire-rimmed bifocals, wore out of necessity, were dark brown and furrowed in annoyance. Stella looked up at him momentarily, shocked into silence as Ophelia continued to pat her in consolation. "If I can't use my phone while I sit here with everybody, then neither can she," she clamored and pointed a finger accusatorily at Vanessa. Iago frowned and scoffed. "I've told you that the cushions of the couch are not an acceptable place to keep your things," he replied condescendingly, casting a spell that pulled the phone out of the couch cushion and into his hand. "And Vanessa can use her phone because she's a fecking adult." "Iago!" Ophelia replied, enunciating each syllable out of frustration. "What, Ophelia?" he replied in return, putting his things down on a nearby chair. Ezra chuckled as he got situated in a chair with a smirk on his face as he expected the drama to unfold. "You've been asked not to use that kind of language in front of my children," she scolded. Iago rolled his eyes. "Yes, I have, and I'm sorry. But we've been over this, Fee. If your daughter wants adult privileges, she needs to start acting as though she were an adult. Throwing a fit because Vanessa dared check hers is asinine." Ophelia sighed again at the use of the word, and Iago rolled his eyes as he put his things down. He puts the phone on the table, casting a spell that encased it in magic. He glared at the girl, who continued to sulk on the floor, and raised his eyebrows as he challenged her. "Get up and act like an adult, and you can have your phone back after dinner. Or continue to sit there and act like a child and be treated as such. Your choice." Stella pushed herself up from the floor, scowled at him. Tugging her shirt down, she pouted again and dramatically flounced out of the room with a wail. Vanessa laughed. "Or you could go pout in your room like a moody teenager," she mumbled. Evelyn scowled at her daughter as Iago laughed. Before she could scold Vanessa, he spoke. "Don't get on her, Evie. She's right. The girl needs to learn to grow up." He looked pointedly at his cousin, who just sighed. "You don't understand how hard it is to raise a child without their father," Ophelia simpered. "Maybe not," Iago said, retrieving the magic that encased his phone, handing it to Ezra. He tilted his head toward Evelyn's. "But she does. And Vanessa seems to have grown up all right, even if she had a bit of time after Ben died, when she was somewhat out of control. So I think your point, once again, is moot. You need to learn to discipline your kids." Vanessa frowned at the reference of her father's death, and her mother changed the subject. "Did you hear what happened along the Riverwalk yesterday?" she asked. Iago chuckled, and as Ezra and Ophelia both shook their heads, Iago looked at Ezra with a grin. "Lucius Tangeray and Cull MacDonald had a duel again," he laughed. Ezra rolled his eyes. "Those two have been loons since they were in grammar school. The two of them act as crazy old-named magicians as ever." The conversation and congenial ambience carried over through the meal, which was eaten sans teenage drama, since Stella refused to leave her bedroom. The adults included Vanessa in the conversation, but the young woman remained reserved as she tried to keep her emotions at bay. On the ride home, Vanessa reflected about her attitude after her father's death. Rarely did anyone in the family bring up the subject, which is why it stung her when Iago had done so to make a point. But it was true. She had become a handful after her father had died. She also knew that it had changed the dynamic within both sides of her family, knowing that she had a powerful magic that no one else seemed to have in the family. It was a magic that literally tore the family apart generations ago, and she was loath to let it happen again. The Magician is brought to you by K.S. Wood. If you'd like to know more about her story and her writings, please visit her website, kswood.blog.